this anyway, just for kicks. Sam.
Welcome to season 2, episode 5 of the Tales from the Air podcast. Apologize for dogs barking in the background. I don't know if the microphone's going to pick them up. May not. We've got thunderstorms here in Kansas City, and I've got dogs that are a little anxious. So, at any rate, we're going to go ahead and roll through this. Excited to be here. Glad you're here. Covering a number of different items today. I had hoped to have a cruise update from my friends who just returned from Europe. We have not met up yet. I was hoping that that would have happened. We're actually meeting for coffee this week. So in the season finale of season 2, we'll have an update on that. Some good information, but lots to share, lots of information. Let's go ahead and start with a story that made some pretty significant headlines here in Kansas City. There was a flight on June 17th, I think it's actually scheduled to depart on the 16th, Southwest flight out of LaGuardia. And it was, I think, ended up leaving around 1 a.m. on the 17th is when it finally took off. But at any rate, there was a woman on the plane from Brooklyn who I think grew up or spent some time, has some connections or whatever to the Kansas City area. Anyway, her name is Leanna Perry, and I say her name only because it's out there. I'm not violating anything by giving her name. And if you've seen the video, it is absolutely disturbing, at the least. Her behavior was absolutely horrific. And Leanna, however you pronounce her name, her first name, she is an artist. Works with some pretty high-profile companies in New York. And I will tell you, when you first see this, three things come to mind. Number one, she's absolutely just drunk out of her mind and entitled and obnoxious. The second piece is she had a interaction with a prescription drug she's taking, either with another prescription drug or alcohol or food, something, or a non-prescription drug interaction. Her behavior is awful. And I'm not going to even come close to giving it any justice by you know, recreating that. I encourage you to go out. It's all over. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. But I will tell you, once the dust settles and it's determined what the cause of her behavior was, at a minimum, absolute minimum, she owes the couple sitting behind her an apology. It was awful. I can't even begin to imagine being on a flight with someone acting like that. It was awful. But, you know, if it turns out that she was drunk and this was her just being obnoxious and entitled, well, then she should never be able to board, in my opinion, another flight again. She should be banned on the no flight list. Excuse me, took a sip of Gatorade there. If it turns out that she was on some sort of prescription medicine and had an interaction and this behavior is not her and whatnot, then, you know, I think that should be taken into account. Again, at a minimum, she still owes an apology to the people sitting near her. Boy, I, for her sake, I hope that's what it was, because I would have to think an employer would be, you know, considering, you know, taking her, you know, ending her contract with her. I do consulting as well, and I'll tell you, if I behave like that on a flight, I would imagine there would be some repercussions there with an employer, now whether it be a contract employer or you know, a W-2 situation. So at any rate, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. If you're offended by strong language, don't check it out. But she, again, for her sake, I hope it was a drug related, and I say prescription drug related incident, and this was completely out of character for her. If this was her, you know, tying one on before the flight and was entitled and obnoxious, she gets what she gets, and I would be absolutely supportive of, she never gets on another airplane again. That's how bad her behavior was. So anyway, wanted to share that story if you hadn't seen it. Southwest flight from New York, LaGuardia to Kansas City, June 17th. You can go find the information out there if you want. Kind of staying on that theme of Southwest. So Southwest has some new ads out, and hats off to the ad agency for giving this the old college try. And I'm sure that they were like, well, the check cash, so that's good. But they are really trying to put lipstick on a pig by essentially saying, hey, we're still fun. We're still the old Southwest that you've always known, but we're going to have some changes. So guys, just hang in there. It'll be okay. I have seen the ad a couple times and quite frankly was nauseated, by the ad, and so it was just one of those things where, you know, we'll see what happens once the dust settles. But I've commented on this multiple times on the podcast. I'm not excited about the changes. I think they are making some wholesale changes that, you know, will I say I'll never fly them again? No. That's not the case. They will be in the mix. I will be looking at, multiple airlines now when I fly, and cost will be a factor for sure. Total cost. But I'll be looking at, you know, how many, can I get there without changing planes? I'll be looking at, you know, different aspects like that when I am booking. So, look out for those commercials. Give me your thoughts on what you thought. By the way, we'll get to this towards the end of the podcast, but feel free to provide feedback and comments at talesfromtheair@gmail.com. Had a few people respond to my question from the last podcast on a favorite vacation as a family and what that entailed, and so got some responses back. Quite frankly, I didn't think I would get one response back, and was pleased to get a few. But always look for your feedback and comments at talesfromtheair@gmail.com. Again, if you're gonna write me and be an ass, you're not going to get a response out of me. I've got really thick skin, and you're not going to ruffle my feathers at all. I will just delete your email. I don't care. My view is if you're that worked up over something, get your own podcast. and speak to it. But the positive feedback, constructive criticism, of course, welcome to that. But if you're going to email and just be rude, haven't had anyone do that, by the way. If that's your MO, if that's your intent, don't bother, because I'm just going to hit delete and you won't be acknowledged. I won't reply. I'm not going to, you know, wage into a internet war with you over words. Not going to happen. I'm just going to hit delete. So save yourself the time, and we won't worry about that. Anyway, so I've commented before on this show how I tend to go down some rabbit holes when it comes to looking at some of the hearings from NTSB and some of these things. And sure enough, went down another one this past week the 24th of June, just a few days ago. The National Transportation Safety Board held a public board meeting that was really long. And I didn't watch the entire thing, but I watched most of it because I found it very interesting from the standpoint that they went through significant detail and left no stone unturned researching. And it was an accident that happened back in January of 2024. I shouldn't say an accident. Could have been far worse. It was, for those of you that don't remember, and by the way, your host did not, so I wouldn't expect you to, but back in January of 2024, an Alaska Airlines flight out of Portland, Oregon, en route to, I believe, Ontario, California, was about 15,000 feet in the air, and not the emergency door, but the plug. This plane was configured in such a way that it met all FAA standards with the number of emergency doors they had. This particular Boeing jet had an additional door that could be used, or you could install a plug, and that's what Boeing had decided for this version. And four bolts were not installed when they did maintenance. And consequently, over time, the plug became loose, the mechanism that held this plug together. And on this particular flight, over the skies of Portland, Oregon, at 15,000 feet, this thing came off and actually landed in someone's backyard. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. Let me take a step back. There were some minor injuries. There were injuries, but no one was killed, which is great news. I will tell you, had people been sitting right there and not been buckled in, it would have been a much different situation. I know through this investigation, one of the things that they are looking at, continue to look at, are children that are lap children that, you know, sit on parents' laps. There was an injury to a child that was a lap child. So, you know, they're looking at that as well. And of course, the process for maintenance, when you're installing these doors and making sure things are checked and double checked before they go out the door. But like I said, fortunately, nobody was killed. The plane was able to return back to Portland International, land safely. And, that in and of itself is amazing. Hats off to the crew, not only the pilots, but the flight attendants that helped keep folks calm and were able to secure the cabin and all that and that. Folks, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, you know, yes, these accidents, when they occur, they are above the fold. Holy crap, look what happened. I'm never getting on another plane again. But I will remind you that air travel is the safest mode of travel that there is. And should you give pause when you get on a plane? probably should. But I will tell you, from an odds perspective, from a statistics standpoint, probably odds isn't the best way to word it. From a statistics standpoint, it is the safest mode of transportation that you will encounter. You are far more likely to be in an accident that will result in injury or even death traveling to the airport than you are being on that airplane. So I bring these stories to you because I think it's important. I think it's good to know that when these things occur, they're not just dismissed and shelved. You know, this was a 5-hour hearing, and you can go out to YouTube and tune in and to different aspects. But the National Transportation Safety Board does an unbelievable job looking at every nook and cranny surrounding an incident and making recommendations and working with partners on the airline side to, and not only the manufacturers, but the airlines themselves, to make sure that, you know, these incidents are minimized and don't happen again. And I would really only need to remind you that, you know, the accident that occurred January of 2025 in Washington, D.C., where, you know, 60 plus people were killed. You know, they've made wholesale changes to how they're handling air traffic at Reagan National because of that. And the military is making adjustments on how they're patrolling the areas around Washington, D.C. Now, don't get me wrong. They're not just saying, well, we just won't patrol it. They're finding alternatives. They're doing things differently. And that is primarily because of the work of the National Transportation Safety Board with recommendations to the FAA and other stakeholders to make those changes. So at any rate, so we move on to another story, which I found really, really interesting. And the reason I'm speaking about it, you know, in and of itself, the story is like, those things happen all the time. I think it's a great reminder to kind of talk to how you need to be prepared and how you need to kind of think through when issues and incidents occur. So just this past Friday in Atlanta had a series of major storms roll through that really impacted the Atlanta metropolitan area, but specifically where the Atlanta Airport is, and there were 500 cancellations out of the Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson Airport. Significant, and it's significant as a standalone event impacting travelers and schedules and all that. But think about the ripple effects. Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson is one of It's the major hub for Delta Airlines. And with those flights being canceled, the impact that was felt, quite frankly, around the world with that was significant. And it's, you know, it takes days to recover from an incident like that. But I thought it was important. Again, a couple of things. Number one, airlines can't control the weather. There's absolutely nothing they can do. They have to put safety first. And when you know, they're grounding these planes, canceling these flights, you have to big picture it and look at that. And there's you know, they would love nothing more than for those flights to have been on time. It is a hassle for them, but you know, safety has to come first. But some reminders, and we talked about this in a previous podcast, but some reminders when things like that occur. So first and foremost, you're going to have to rebook, most likely. That's probably your first option. First thing you want to do is get on the phone, to Delta or whatever airline. And you know, all the airlines were impacted. It just wasn't Delta, but that because it was a hub that impacted them the most. But get on the phone, hop on the app, but also at the same time, get in line for customer service. So you are able to, and we're about to have World War III here, guys. We've got, dogs wanting to move dogs wanting to jump. So we may have a whole thing erupting here, but anyway, you want to get in line. You want to get on the phone. You want to do both. You can always get out of line if you get a hold of someone. You don't want to get on the phone and not get in line and be on hold forever and a day when you could have actually been talking to a live person in front of you to help resolve the issue. So do both of those things. Get on the phone and get in line both, and that will improve your chances. Second thing you want to look at is, okay, what's this storm doing? What's the impact of this? Would it make sense for me to go rent a car and drive? Is that an option? Is that a possibility? You want to explore that because it could be a situation where you're not going to be able to get out till sometime the next day, depending upon the weather. Now, it's easier to do that when you're in a thunderstorm. That storm's going to pass through relatively shortly. Tougher in a snow event where you're going to have to be driving through potentially blizzard-like conditions, that may not be an option for you or something that is of interest for you. So you want to kind of think through what that looks like. The other thing you want to look at too is you may need to get a hotel for the night. And everyone is going to be trying to get a hotel close by the airport. I would encourage you to think beyond that. Look a little further out. You may have a better chance of getting a hotel. You could always take an Uber or something to get you over to the hotel. But if everyone's trying to get into that, you know, group of hotels right there by the airport, they're going to fill up really fast. And what's the difference in a 15, 20, 30 minute Uber ride at the end of the day if you've got a place to lay your head that night that's not in the airport? So kind of think that through as well. Also, if staying with family or friends is an option, check your pride at the door. If, you know, your only option is an expensive hotel or sleeping on the ground at the airport, staying with that aunt that you probably, you know, don't talk to as often as you should, may be a much better alternative. So think that through. So anyway, just something to consider, something to think about. We're definitely in the height. We're in it right now in Kansas City. With storms are going to impact your travel. It's just the way it is, but they're oftentimes fairly short-lived, but the ripple effects can really take hold and spread out there. So going to depart briefly. I'm recording this on the Sunday before July 1st, so a couple days early, which for me, as you all know, is rare. Usually I'm recording the day of. We're coming in hot and getting this uploaded, but actually getting it recorded a couple days early, so I feel good about that. We depart sometimes from travel on this show and want to comment. Great sports weekend in Kansas City this weekend. For me, anyway, two of my favorite teams, the Royals and the Dodgers, are playing each other. And actually, we're in a rain delay right now for the Royals and Dodgers' final game. The Dodgers took game one, Royals took game two, so excited to see where game three lands. Also, shout out to Lando Norris, who won the Austrian Grand Prix this morning over in Austria. It was quite a race to watch, and they'll be in Silverstone in Great Britain next weekend, racing there. And for those of you who haven't seen it, we're going to see it, I think, tonight, all things being equal, the new F1 movie that's out. I have not heard feedback, but that's been kind of by design. I haven't really sought it out. Anxious to see that. So at any rate, a little departure there from the travel piece. So in the prior show, I had asked folks to write in, and folks, quite frankly, I expected no one to respond, no one to tune in. I actually got three people that responded, and it's three more than I thought. But the ask was, tell me about a favorite vacation or trip or something you did. And had a few folks, like I said, three folks chime in. We'll start here with Jeff from Texas. And he commented that many summers in a row, they would have extended family. They would all meet for a week in Panama City, Florida. They're in the Panhandle. Beautiful beaches, by the way, in Panama City. Really, that whole area there, if you've never been, I would encourage you to go Panama City and work your way west. Over to Destin, Fort Walton Beach, that area, just really beautiful. But at any rate, he commented that his family, an extended family, they would all hang out, get multiple hotel rooms at the same complex. Sometimes it was a resort. This was back in the days before Airbnbs, and so they would rent multiple hotel rooms or condos, depending upon the year, and get together. And he said that his family, they drove, and they really, it was just something he looked forward to, every year. And of course, as things go, when the cousins and whatnot grew older, you know, people started having their own trips and doing different things. But, that was something that he commented on. So, Jeff, thanks for sharing that. Jeff from Texas. Kelly from Iowa commented that one of her favorite family vacations, her family, they drove to the Grand Canyon and spent a week at the Grand Canyon doing all the touristy stuff that you do at the Grand Canyon. And she said they did ride the burros down, and that was a lot of fun. But that was something that really stuck out for her enough to where she sent in an email to the podcast and commented on that. So, Kelly, thank you for sharing that. I have not done the burros down the Grand Canyon. Have been to the Grand Canyon a couple times and have just awe-inspiring to see. And I think I commented on a previous episode. I actually flew into the Grand Canyon on a helicopter out of Las Vegas, and that was a lot of fun to see it from that vantage point. So, Kelly, thanks again for writing in. And then finally, our third person that wrote in was Tim from right here in Kansas City. Tim talked about how every other year his family would do a staycation. And part of the week, they would actually get hotels, hotel room down in the Crown Center area. For those of you not familiar with Kansas City, it's an area that has some shopping and restaurants and is near Union Station. But they would do that. And he said they would always plan it around when the Royals were in town, and they would go to Royals games and go to Worlds of Fun. And I'll tell you, a staycation can be a lot of fun. I think sometimes we take a lot of things in our home city for granted and don't necessarily do the touristy type things. And I would encourage you to take advantage of that, whether it be a staycation like Tim spoke about, or, you know, carving out maybe a weekend a month and doing things right in your own home city. You know, I chimed in on you know, trips to Florida that we had done down to Daytona Beach, I think is where we were near Orlando when we were a kid. But just some of those special things. I'll tell you, one of the things as an adult that I've been kind of a little bit of a bucket list item for me that I've been trying to chip off is to see a game, not necessarily the Royals. I mentioned before, Royals and Dodgers are my two favorite teams. Not necessarily the Royals or the Dodgers, but to see a game in every major league city. And I've actually made quite a few and can check quite a few off the list. It's to a point now, it's kind of funny, where some cities have actually built new stadiums. Now, I'm giving myself credit for the old stadium, and a great example of that is Seattle. Seen a few games in the Kingdome, which is no longer where Seattle plays. Have not been to the new stadium and seen a game there. Would love to. I've got a friend of mine whose family, they live out in the Pacific Northwest, in Oregon, and they get up to Seattle 2-3 times during baseball season and catch a game. But at any rate, I've been to a lot of games throughout the country, and a lot of that is credited with my business travel that has taken me to some of these cities where I've been able to catch a game, and makes it pretty easy to do. But would love to get through every city and hit every park. I think that would be a lot of fun. Football, not as jazzed about that, for the sole fact that if you are an opposing team going into a stadium as a fan, it can be a not so pleasant experience for you. I'll tell you, I try to be respectful and all that when opposing fans are seeing a game in Denver, but good heavens, it can be a little bit brutal. And so that's probably not something I want to check off the list. Although two stadiums I do want to see for sure from a football perspective. My wife and I had an opportunity to tour SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Would love to see a football game there. So that's on the list, and that will probably happen. My wife, who's a Cowboys fan, between her catching a Broncos Rams game Cowboys Rams or Cowboys Chargers game, or a Broncos Chargers game is that. We could probably do that. We'd probably make that work. And then the other place I'd like to see a game, just because I think it would be fun to go see, and probably realistically what's going to happen, is I'm going to check two places off the list at once. And that actually leads me to another story I want to tell. I'll get to that in a second. But Las Vegas. I'll probably wait to see a Broncos Raiders game once the A's are relocated and fully in Las Vegas in their new stadium, because I think that would be a cool stadium to see, and hit that in the same weekend. Hit a A's game and a Raiders game in the same weekend. That would be a lot of fun. That triggered something for me that I wanted to share. I guess my cousin as well, but one of my wife's cousins, he has for a number of years gotten together with a group of friends, and what they do is they will find an area and they will hit a Major League Baseball game. They will hit a college football game. And then they will hit an NFL football game the same weekend. So they, you know, they're obviously probably having to drive a little bit depending upon the area they chose. And you've got to line up everything with, you know, the MLB and the NFL schedule. And you've got that, you know, you've got a fairly small window where you can capture baseball and football together. Definitely doable. Now, I know one of my really good friends who he and I go to a number of Broncos games together. I know we've caught Rockies games and done that the same weekend as a Broncos game. So we've done that before. That's a lot of fun. But they will add to that mix a college football game. So that trifecta would be a lot of fun to do, but they've been doing that for years and that would be a cool experience. So anyway, I talked a lot. It's my podcast. I get to do that. My wife thinks I talk too much, and this is a good outlet for me to just talk and talk and talk. But I want to thank everybody for joining. A little different episode, a little bit of industry news, a little bit of sharing some stories and personal stuff. But I hope everyone found it interesting and just really enjoy communicating with everybody. And like I said before, love the emails, love the feedback. Some of you that I know better, I'll get a text, I'll get a phone call and words of encouragement. And I sure appreciate that. I enjoy doing this. It's a lot of fun, and I'm going to do it until I don't enjoy it. And so this has been season 2, episode 5. And as we do always, I want to remind you, you can check us out on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Check us out. Share with your friends and family, coworkers. Hit like. All that stuff that helps kind of build those numbers up a little bit. And feedback, talesfromtheair@gmail.com. And we'll see you for the season 2 finale coming up in mid-July. And with that, we are going to have Mr. Dwight Yoakam take us home. Dwight? Sure.